Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning on this Labor Day weekend. It is good to have you with us. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, the church where we are always seeking to know God, to love God, and to serve God. I'm Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor, and our worship leaders today are Rose Bledsoe and Bruce Stark. There's Bruce. And you have come on a great day, because Pastor John is going to be leading off a brand new sermon series in which we are going to see how a simple children's story might lead us much deeper into Scripture. The kids are invited to stay in worship today. This is Labor Day weekend, so there's not nursery, there's not Sunday school, but partway near the beginning of the service, Pastor John will be inviting all the kids up front to hear a story. So you can get ready for that and come on up and sit by Pastor John and hear a story. Now, I'd like to, if you're a visitor with us, we want to especially welcome you. And we want to let you know that you can stop by our Welcome Center, and there are visitor bags there, and they have gifts for you that are handmade by people in our congregation. And I'd like to invite everybody to please complete the connection cards that you're going to find in your bulletin. Let us know that you're here. And if you flip it over, sign up for some opportunities in the back. And if you have prayer requests on your heart, if there are things going on in your life, fill out one of the prayer request cards, and you can put the prayer request and the connection card into the offering plate. And now we do have three announcements. Number one, next Sunday is Bounce Back Sunday. That's September 8th. Kids are invited to bring your backpacks, and we'll be blessing the kids and their backpacks for the new school year. We'll also be giving Bibles to our kindergartners and our third graders. They'll have their very own Bible to keep. And, of course, we couldn't have a Bounce Back Sunday without what? Bounce House. Exactly. So there will indeed be a Bounce House. And then that same evening next Sunday, we're having our very first ever comedy night. It's going to be held indoors at the Whitmore Lake campus. That's next Sunday, and that's at 5 o'clock. Comedians Chris Young and Tim Palmer are gonna make you smile with humor that is suitable for teens and adults, okay? And the money raised from the $15 tickets is going to benefit Clean Water for the World. So you can get them at the door that day. And then number three, our annual scrap drive, where we collect every kind of thing made of metal that you can imagine, big and small. That's going to be this Saturday, September 7th, at this campus in the parking lot. And Ginger tells me that she's already taken in two trailer loads of stuff, because people have been bringing things. Now, you can't bring it to the parking lot early, but I guess they're calling her. So next Saturday, bring your metal stuff. It is going to be dismantled by our top-notch team. It will be recycled, and the money from the recycling will go to Redbird Mission. So now let's stand together to sing our opening hymn, Immortal, Invisible, number 103 in the hymnal.
Thank you.
us lift our voices together in the opening prayer. Lord, we lift our praise to you, the immortal, invisible God, who lives and reigns in us. When life is difficult, you bring us joy. When we are afraid, you give us strength. Help us to walk in your holy way each step of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
Everybody, the invitation's open. If you are young or feel young this morning, to come forward to story time. I'm going to be reading a book called Naya's Long Walk, so I'm going to sit down and read it, and if you want to come forward, you're welcome to. So Bob Fuchs, this is your opportunity to come forward if you want. So those that feel young, yes, thanks, Bob. Thanks, Rose. You guys are so kind. So I'll make sure to show the pictures so that you can, and Jean. So to our friends who are watching online, for copyright reasons, we're going to be cutting to a different part of the program. There will be some slides for you to watch. And for those of you who are in the sanctuary, you're going to get blessed by a book called Naya's Long Walk. Which
the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and shouting. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be opened. Then the lame shall leap like deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel upon it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, friends. Happy Labor Day, and I hope that you're able to spend some wonderful time with family and friends this weekend, and I hope that your time is blessed as you take an opportunity in some cases to get off the hamster wheel and just enjoy some recreation and perhaps, just spending time with people that you care about or resting and enjoying the midst of the beauty of this day. I want to invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who gives us the gift of life through water. Amen. As we gather this morning, you know, it's sort of like a danger in our house. We always do story time right before bed. And so by reading a nice long story, if you're tired, you know, take care of yourself. Just lay down on the pew. They're comfortable. You can just take a nice little nap if you'd like for the next couple minutes. But this story's really been near and dear to my heart because it reminds me of my friends in Liberia, folks who I got a chance to meet actually when I traveled there. I've been to Liberia 3 times, and each time that I go, one of the central parts of that trip is water, the experience of getting safe drinking water. And the thing about Liberia that's always been moving to me, this small country, a democracy in West Africa, are the deep ties that that country has to the United States. Liberia is a country that was founded by freed slaves that the United States put on ships and sent back to Africa. And they created a democracy that looks very similar to ours. But in 1980, there began to be some significant political divisions in that country, divisions that rooted back hundreds of years because the freed slaves that had come back and founded a new government there were ruling in such a way that people who were native to Liberia began to get incredibly uncomfortable with government corruption or accusations thereunto, and they began to organize themselves not in a peaceful way, but actually in a very violent way. And in 1980, there was a coup d'etat where a group of rebels came into the country and assassinated the president. And that began what became the seedbed for the first Liberian Civil War, which was followed by a second Liberian Civil War that was all based on political division, if you can imagine that. People in the country no longer were able to listen to each other or hear each other out. The differences that dated back generations, people felt so strongly about their political differences that they decided that violence was the only answer, and they responded to that inclination through violent uprisings. If you talk to folks from Liberia, they describe that as an unimaginable period of darkness where violence was common, abuse, every kind imaginable was almost a day-to-day experience out in the world. The most difficult part of this is during the 1960s, Liberia's economy was on par with Japan's. They were developing at a similar economic trajectory. The country is filled with minerals, gold, diamonds, everything that you could possibly imagine. There was a strong base of export. It was an industrial population of people. And as the Civil War took place, schools, bridges, roads, water infrastructure, electricity plants were all destroyed in the Civil War as strategic targets were particularly picked out, and the infrastructure of that country was absolutely laid to waste. As a result of that desire for violence, people ended up going from being able to have access to clean and safe drinking water into this period of incredible darkness where instead of being able to turn on a tap like we do here in the United States and expecting that the water that comes out of that faucet is drinkable and clean and safe for people to consume, in Liberia, it was pretty common to see folks in the village pick up a 5-gallon bucket and walk sometimes 5 or 6 kilometers to a source of water. I've preached about this before here in this sanctuary, and you know that when I was in Liberia, it was quite unusual to see this guy, particularly a white guy, but in for the most part, in Liberia, it's women and children who routinely make this walk for water not only one time a day, but sometimes up to three or four times in any particular day with a bucket balanced on their heads. It's hot, and your every desire within your body is like, let me just drink this water, right? But you need it for cooking and bathing and drinking, and so you walk with this five-gallon bucket of water on your head all the way back to your village. My belief is that this is not the way that God intended the world to be. Water is a source of life, and you can't survive more than 3 days without it. I remember sitting in my office in Rochester, Michigan at the time and thinking about water as a major source of global violence. We are so spoiled in the state of Michigan. Pastor Lindsay and I have enjoyed over the last couple of weeks the opportunity to go up to camp up in northern Michigan, and then we went camping with the church in western Michigan, and then we did this crazy jaunt because we were excited that Reverend Dr. Sherry Parker Lewis was preaching here, and Pastor Bob Fuchs was preaching down in Whitmore Lake last week, and Lindsay's folks were in town. So we drove all the way up to the Sault Ste. Marie, where we were able to watch the Sioux locks rise and fall as they lifted massive 1,000-foot vessels up into the air so that they could go into Lake Superior. Can you imagine this? Every time they raise the Sioux locks, 27 million gallons of fresh water are used to lift every boat. And as I was sitting there, watching this massive 1,000-foot vessel being lifted up so it could carry on over to Wisconsin or Minnesota or wherever it was headed, maybe, I couldn't help but think about a 5-gallon bucket of water on my head. It's tough for me to wrestle not only with the access to clean drinking water, but the reminder of this experience that I had walking with friends to Liberia, where we came upon this place that people in the village were drawing water from. The water wasn't moving. It was like in a puddle. It was stagnant, and people would walk up to it and use their buckets to sort of swish around the water a little bit so that algae and things on top of the water would get pushed out of the way so that the water underneath it could be consumed. And I find my heart breaking every time that I bring that image to my mind, and I imagine these folks getting sick. Now, on the other side of things, if you've ever had an experience where your intestinal tract isn't exactly cooperating or functioning in the way that God intended it to function, and you find yourself running and to and from the water closet, not to get graphic here, but if that experience lasted for several days and you were unable to complete the walk for water that was described in the book that I read for you, and you found yourself sick, most of us here in the United States are so fortunate that when we get sick, there's not only an emergency room just down the street or a helicopter that could transport you from your home to wherever the nearest big hospital is, but there's also urgent care and there's medicine at pharmacies all around the country. In fact, sometimes I find it crazy that on one corner there will be a CVS and then there will be a Walgreens and then right next to it there will be a third, you know, a personal pharmacy that somebody's running as an individual. And I find myself just thinking, we have access to drugs in this country that the rest of the world could only dream of. And when we get sick, quite often there's somebody to help us. It's not the case everywhere. I don't preach this sermon to make anybody feel bad about where you live or the things that you might take for granted. What I know is this: every time we go to turn on our faucet or we turn on the shower so that our kids can get clean for the day, I'm really thankful that I don't have to walk 3 miles to make that happen. And I find myself wrestling with folks that do. And I know I made a commitment at some point in my ministry to my friend Jefferson in Liberia, just like this book, where it describes a truck coming down the street and kicking up a lot of dust. Someday I dream of buying a drill truck for our friends in Liberia, because if you can imagine Jefferson, my friend who's now dug over 700 wells in the country, believes that the next step for infrastructure in Liberia is instead of hand digging these wells down 30 feet, someday that he would be able to have a truck that would allow them to get down into deeper levels of water source. Most of us live on wells here in this community, and ours are 150, 200, 250 feet underneath the surface of the Earth's, you know, crust. And as a result of that, our water is even cleaner. And I dream of someday being able to support my friend Jefferson so that he could do the same. It prevents the spread of disease. It makes water accessible. And then perhaps the best part of it all is that all of that time that women and children used to spend walking to and from those wells every single day, day after day, week after week, year after year, they use that time and they start businesses and enterprises and they start gardening and they start providing food for their family and selling it in marketplace. And suddenly the kids that used to walk for water every day, they're in school. It changes the entire village. It makes people safe. It transforms people's lives. In a couple of months in February, there are several of us actually from this church, along with people from churches all across the state, who are going to be traveling to Liberia to see this. My sister, who just started a mobile dog grooming business, was so excited for the opportunity for her to donate a well to folks in Liberia. She was stoked and excited about it. She called me and she said, "Haven't you been working on water for a long time?" And I was like, "Yes." And she goes, "You know, after we get done washing these dogs in these vans that she drives all across Southeast Michigan," she says, "it breaks my heart that we take this big tank of gray water and dispose of it. I want to provide clean and safe drinking water somewhere myself." I don't know what we can do. There's billions of people in the world who do the same walk for water every day. Some of the most common diseases in the world continue to be waterborne illnesses. What I do know is that when Isaiah cast this vision for what the future of the world might look like, he used this vivid imagery of creation. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and shouting. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The majesties of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the majesty of our God. This dream of the desert blooming, a place where there is no water, this author of Isaiah is imagining a world where there's water, where people are suffering, because water gives life. I find myself appreciating so much the Great Lakes, being out on a boat, watching the sunlight reflect off of the water, experiencing the joy of watching the Sioux Locks raise a 1,000-foot vessel 27 feet so it can carry on into Lake Superior, watching rivers all throughout the state of Michigan. My birthday present this year was to get a gold pan. So if I'm not here to preach next week, it's because we struck it rich. I'm just telling you right now. But to be able to play in the river up at Taquamenon Falls, sifting through sand, hoping that we might find a small piece of copper or something like that. Water is an incredible gift that provides so much of the quality of life that we experience in the world. And my hope is that we can continue to share it, especially here in the state of Michigan, where there's water everywhere, with our brothers and sisters all around the world. Folks like Naya make this walk every single day, sweat pouring down their faces as they carry those 5-gallon buckets of water on their head, hoping that someday they might be able to go to school instead of walking with that water on their head, hoping that instead of drawing water from these shallow puddles on the surface of the ground, that someday they might be able to draw upon a deeper and safer source of water. I wanted to read this story to you because I continue to think that most of us in the state of Michigan take water for granted, when so many of our brothers and sisters all around the world do not have access in the same way we do. And my hope is that someday, just like Isaiah suggested, that the desert will bloom, that places where there is no water will someday have access to it, so that every single child can be in school, and so that parents will have the opportunity to be safe and not worry about their children on those long walks. I dream of a day. Do you? Amen.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend? I sing because I'm free.
And all God's people said.
Amen. Thank you, Susan. That was wonderful. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. God is good. I heard a story about a couple guys went into a restaurant, and they're sitting at the restaurant, and the waitress comes up. She says, "Would you like something to drink?" First guy says, "Yeah, I'll have some H2O. Second guy says, "I'll have H2O too." Well, the first guy did okay because H2O is water. Second guy didn't fare so well. H2O2 is hydrogen peroxide, so he didn't. he had a rough day for the rest of the day. Normally at this time, I would call your attention to the prayer quilts on the wall, but we don't have any today, which is a good thing. But what I'd like to do during the prayer is I would like to pray for all the people that have ever received a prayer quilt. Nothing wrong with some extra prayers along the way, and I think we'd do that. So, if you join me now in an attitude of prayer. Good and gracious God, creator of all things, we come before you this morning to praise you, to give you thanks, to feel your love. We want to keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, and to your blessings. We listen for that small, quiet voice, that soft voice with such a big message for us. Help us to listen to those that need your guidance, to look for those that seek you, and to slow down and take the time to help those that are searching for answers. Answers to questions that only you know the answers to. Answers that will fill our hearts and fill their hearts with your love. Answers that will give hope. We give praise and thanks for those that teach us, those that help us to learn to live as Jesus lived, to remember those that are struggling and wrestling looking for help. We pray for all our quilt recipients over the years that they may continue to feel our love through prayers in the quilts that they've received and receive the strength and endurance they need to continue facing the rough times. We pray for those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships, those that are struggling with health issues, those that have lost loved ones, those that are struggling with financial burdens due to today's trying times. Help them to understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them. We ask your blessings on those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. We give you thanks for our co-workers, our bosses, our employees, and the people we spend our time with in our day-to-day lives. We thank you for the blessing that you have given to us, our friends, our family, our neighbors. Help us to love them as you do, to care for each other, to show your love to those that need it, especially those that need your love the most, the ones that don't know your love yet, the ones that don't know yet that your love is there for them, the ones that don't yet know that they need you. We also give thanks and ask blessings on those in the service industry that need to continue to work in spite of the holiday weekend. The police, fire department, hospital workers, first responders, and all those that continue to work to help to make our lives easier. We pray for travel mercies for those that have chosen this Labor Day weekend to be with family and friends that live across the country, including those that have chosen to spend their time with us, and pray for the safe return for all of them, that they return safe and refreshed, ready to continue the work that lay ahead. Father, we ask for your blessings and guidance for all in need across the nation and across the world that have suffered due to natural disasters and to conflicts going on across the world. Bless our leaders and give them the guidance that the decisions that they make be tempered with your love. Give them strength to make the decisions that will give us hope. Guide them with your mercies, that your love may fill their hearts. that your love may be shown through them. Now we ask that you hear our prayers as we come to you seeking, searching, and looking to you with our requests and concerns, as well as our praises of you in this time of silent prayer and meditation. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And don't forget, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen.
And so we come to our time of Holy Communion together, the time when we remember what Christ did for us, and we remember what Christ invites us to do, which is to be at one with him. In the United Methodist Church, our communion table is open to all. You do not need to be a member of this church or of any church, because this is the Lord's table, it's not ours. Rather, if it's in your heart to come, you are encouraged to come up. You'll come by the side aisles when the ushers direct you, and you'll take a piece of bread, and then you'll take the cup. Take a moment to eat that bread, drink that cup, and pause and give thanks to God. Feel God's presence within you. If you need gluten-free bread, we also have that. The gluten-free bread will be at a special station near the center. And so the table is prepared. I invite you to open your hymnals to page 13, and so that you can follow along with the responses, unless you already know them, in which case you'll be fine. I'm not sure they're going to be on the screen. They're not. So you will need the hymnal unless you know them. So on page 13, we begin with the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, 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 Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took a loaf of bread and he broke it and he said, This is my body which has been broken for you. Take it and eat it as often as you can in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took a cup and he lifted it before his disciples. And he said, This is my blood which has been poured out for you. Take it and drink it as often as you can in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and juice, may they be the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory
and we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit, and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
As Pastor Lynn said, you don't have to be a member of this or any other church to come forward to receive these elements. We practice an open table, which means everyone is welcome. And as you come forward this day, we celebrate that this gift of bread and juice is a safe space to come and explore and grow in your faith in Jesus Christ. It's a place to come to be nourished and strengthened in your journey of faith ahead. Will those who will be assisting in communion come forward so that we might serve together during this time? All has been made ready. Will you please come? Amen. Do you want to serve gluten-free with me in the middle?
Okay.
Prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery that is this great feast. Thank you for the small ways that it reminds us and becomes a foretaste of what might be to come, a time when there are no more lions thirsting for the blood of lambs, a time where there's no more violence, a time where water springs forth from desert places, a time of healing and restoration. Thank you for this feast, which gives us a reminder of what heaven might look like someday. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And now we come to our time of offering. We pray that during this service today, you have been experiencing God's Sabbath, God's rest, as you've worshiped with us today. There are so many ways that each of us can participate in sharing concrete signs of God's love with one another, concrete signs of the love of Christ. We do it through our words, through our financial gifts, and through our actions. Signs like water, signs like well-digging trucks, and the many ministries of this church. So may God bless these gifts that we share today.
Lord of all, we thank and praise you for all you give us, from the beautiful world we live in to our very lives. Guide us as we use these offerings in your name, and help us to build a community that represents you in this world. Amen.
first is next week, that comedy evening. The benefits from that comedy evening will benefit Clean Water for the World, which is installing water filtration systems at schools in Liberia. So if you're interested in joining us for that, it should be just a fun evening on the lake, clean fun. It shouldn't be, you know, too intense. Chris Young is actually a part of this congregation. He worships with us online, and he's really funny. He's a really great comedian. So if you want a belly laugh, we encourage you to join us for that. The second invitation is this. If there's any part of your spirit that's interested in learning about a trip to Liberia, I can guarantee you it's a very long flight, about 24 hours, but it's a very worthwhile flight. If you're interested in joining me on a trip to Liberia in February, let me know. The cost is about $2,700, and that includes flights and housing and food and transportation. Everything's included in that, except for immunizations, which is just dependent on, you know, insurance and all that kind of stuff. So we encourage you, if you're interested, just to let me know. We've got, I think, 5 or 6 people from our church that are going out of a group of about 20, so we're really excited about that. As you depart from this place, I pray you'd enjoy your Labor Day weekend. I pray that you'd enjoy spending time with family and friends or being blessed by the peace of solitude and rest. As you go out from this place, may you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with 2 locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our 2 locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.